We open our time of worship with the words of the psalmist. I will thank you, Lord, with all my heart. I will talk about all your wonderful acts. I will celebrate and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name most high. The Lord is a safe place for the oppressed, a safe place in difficult times. Those who know your name trust you, because you have not abandoned anyone who seek you, Lord. Welcome to today's service of worship. If you're gathered here in person, I invite you to grab those pew pads, pass those back and forth on the pews, and let us know you're here, find out who else is there. If you have information to share with the office or read the information in there, please do so. We have many different announcements here this morning. Today for Growing Connections, we're going to be having big brothers and big sisters sharing about their ministry and the ways that we can connect with them. Also have some news that was just shared with me here this morning that I want to pass along to everyone. It's with sadness and shock that Carol Dykstra passed away on Friday morning. So waiting to find out more information there on any funeral plans, but want to keep Pete and Carol's family in our prayers as they go through this time. It's only 10 days away until we start Lent. Lent Ash Wednesday will be in 10 days from now. And Ash Wednesday this year, we're going to do similarly to what we did last year. During the noon hour, we'll have about an hour of just a drop-in time. Anyone is free to just drop by the church, come up here to the front of the sanctuary. I'll be present. If you'd like to pray, if you'd like to sit in the pews and just quietly reflect on some scripture, if you'd like to receive an imposition of ashes, that will be available just on a drop-in, come and go, nothing structured, organized during that noon hour time. Then 6:30, we will have our Ash Wednesday worship service. And this year for Lent, we're planning out a little bit extra on our Ash Wednesday worship services. We'll have a service here midday from 12:15 to 12:45. And then 12:45 to 1:30, we'll have some soup and discussion about some texts as we go through the book of Acts. And in the evening, we're going to have a similar study for those who aren't able to make it during the daytime from 6:30 to 7:30. And we're going to begin Lent, the first few weeks, meeting at Bob's Pizza. We've got the Just Love coffee shop reserved. So you can come into Bob's Pizza over in the Ave and just go right into the coffee shop there. And we'll have kind of an informal food type of worship service there. And looking forward to that experience and seeing what we can learn from that as well. Invite Mike Peterson to come up. He's got some information. You probably noticed a big box out here for a hygiene drive and some other announcements. He's going to fill you in on some of that, connections with the Blandine House.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Well, it's a time for another drive. This time, the serving team, with approval of session, has agreed to join several Fond du Lac area nonprofit agencies to conduct a community hygiene drive. The drive starts today, the 23rd of February, and runs through March 16th, so basically 3 weeks. The items they're looking for include bathroom tissue, cleaning supplies, toothbrushes and toothpaste, deodorant, diapers, baby care, feminine care items. They also face and bath soap, laundry, detergent, paper towels, razors, etc. There's a complete list on the box that's out in the narthex. After the drive is concluded, the Catherine Drexel Shelter, Blandine House, Solutions Center, Advocap, and several other agencies that serve the homeless and crisis-affected people in our area will divide the collection to make items available as needed. We also want to draw your attention to the next Loaves and Fishes meal that First Presbyterian will be serving at the Church of Peace this Wednesday, the 26th of February. Desserts like cookies and bars are needed. We also need volunteers to help prepare sandwiches and fill food bags and meet the public. The sign-up sheet for that is in the Welcome Center in the Narthex. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Many, many different ways throughout the year to be able to put our faith into action to serve the community and to serve others, to be able to love all of God's children. Let us turn our hearts to God as the light of Christ is brought in and the bell is tolled, as we allow the Holy Spirit to connect with our spirit, to transform us into the people God calls us to be.
Please stand as you are able and join me in the responsive call to worship. Come and learn the ways of life.
We have come to follow Jesus.
Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you.
We have come to follow Jesus.
Bless those who curse you and pray for those who persecute you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
We have come to follow Jesus.
Come and learn the ways of life. Inexhaustible source of love and life, be with us in our time of worship as we seek the love it takes to walk in the ways of your Son. Help us love our enemies and bless those who wrong us, for we cannot do so alone. Teach us the joy of treating others with all the same respect and goodness with which we hope to be treated. May our every word and deed make known that we are your beloved children and vessels of your love. Amen.
Thank you.
The God revealed to us in the pages of Scripture is a welcoming and inclusive God who directs us to love one another. We seek to remove all the barriers that keep us from that love. Come now to confess all that separates you from others and from God. Teacher of hard truths, it is difficult to let go of our anger toward those who prosper through deceit and unscrupulous ways. It is not easy to make ourselves believe that the meek will inherit the earth when they are being crushed by the unjust systems stacked against them. We long to see the vindication of the righteous and the prosperity of those who work selflessly to bring your realm here on earth. We yearn for the day when all people will treat one another as they wish to be treated. Help us live into that day, Holy One, even when it is difficult, that your love might shine like the sun throughout our lives and our ministries. Let us take a few moments to offer our own silent confessions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. When we treat others as we would have them treat us, Jesus calls us beloved children of the Most High. If God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked, how much more will God be kind to those who love the Lord and seek to live the golden rule? Rest in this assurance and be at peace. You are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us be known as children of the Most High by sharing God's love and grace with all as we pass the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share the peace of Christ. Please be seated. Please join me as we read responsively Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11 and 39 and 40. Don't get upset over evildoers. Don't be jealous of those who do wrong, because they will fade fast like grass. They will wither like green vegetables. And do good. Live in the land in farm faithfulness. Enjoy the Lord, and he will give you what your heart asks. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him. He will act and will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like high noon. Be still before the Lord and wait for him. Don't get upset when someone gets ahead. Someone who invents evil schemes. Let go of anger and leave rage behind. Don't get upset. It will only lead to evil. Because evildoers will be eliminated, but those who hope in the Lord, they will possess the land. In just a little while, the wicked won't exist. If you go looking around their place, they won't be there. But the weak will inherit the land. They will enjoy a surplus of peace. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their refuge in times of trouble. The Lord will help them and rescue them. Rescue them from the wicked, and he will save them because they have taken refuge in him.
Today's gospel reading comes from Luke's gospel, the 6th chapter, as we continue through the 6th chapter, verses 27 to 38. Listen for the word of the Lord. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act, for he is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken, and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Oh, we got some more friends coming. So, what did I bring today?
A heart.
A heart. What do you think of when you think of a heart?
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, what else? Can you see what that says on there? I have Jesus in my heart. We think about love when we think about hearts, don't we? Yeah. So, who are some people that you love?
God.
God. Good answer. Yeah. Moms and dads and brothers and sisters, right? Maybe grandmas and grandpas. Who else? Maybe your best friend. Maybe a teacher. We love the people who love us, don't we? And take care of us, right? So are there any boys or girls that maybe are sometimes mean? Yeah. Sometimes that happens. And sometimes when people are mean to us, sometimes our heart gets a little bit turned upside down or backwards. And sometimes when those unkind things happen to us, mean things happen to us, we want to be mean back. Do you ever want to be mean back? Really? Oh, I'm glad. That's good. That's good. But you know what? A lot of times people think, oh, they're being mean, I'm going to be mean back. But did you hear what Pastor just read? Jesus was talking about how when unkind things happen to us, we don't need our hearts to be turned upside down. We need to share kindness back. And sometimes when people do mean or unkind things, our hearts get all jumbled up again. And we want to be aggressive. We want to protect the things that are ours, and we want to force people to do what we want them to do. And Jesus reminds us that to be real strong, we can show mercy and forgiveness and grace and love. And sometimes when people are being mean and our hearts get all twisted up, we think about hurting others and calling names because we think that'll help us feel better. But Jesus tells us that through forgiveness, that's how we really feel better. So it's easy to love the people that love us and are kind to us. And it's kind of hard to love the people who aren't. And Jesus said, but when you are doing that, when you are being kind, even to those who are hurting us, you're acting like children of God. And when you do that, you are showing people God's love. And you are being a good example to others to what to do. And sometimes you might even find that your enemies, those people who are being mean to you, might even become your friends. So is that pretty easy to do all those things? Nope. And it's not easy for grown-ups either. No, it isn't. But take a look at my picture I have on the screen today. Do you see that heart up there? That heart has lots of hands on it. I picked that picture of the heart because I wanted us to remember that we don't do these things all by ourselves. We do these things with the help of all the people that love us. Our community of faith here, your family at home, right? All of those people help us. So those days when our hearts are all twisted up and hurting, we have other people that help us to turn it around and help us to remember what to do. When you are having a time that you're not sure what to do because your heart hurts so bad, who should you talk to? You should talk to the people who love you. And who loves you the most in the whole world? Your mom? You know what? God even loves you even more than that. Yep, your mom. And so you need to talk with mom, and you need to talk with God. And the first thing that we need to do is always remember to talk with God about those things when our hearts are hurting. So I hope that your heart is not hurting, but there are going to be some days that it is. And when it does, remember that you are not alone, that there are people in this world that love you so much, and even more than all the people in the world that love you, God loves you. Let's take a little time. Let's say a little prayer. Loving and gracious God, it's easy to love those who love us. And when our hearts get turned upside down and backwards, help us to remember that loving our enemies starts with us talking and listening to you. Help us to love our enemies so that they may know that we are children of God and that they are loved by you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Let me bring your love. Where there is injury, you
Let us pray. Lord, speak through me and open the eyes of our hearts so that your holy word may illumine the hopes of your kingdom, compelling us to live it out in the everyday and ordinary of our life. Amen. In 1985, the Christian duo DeGarmo and Key, Christian singers, released a song called Casual Christian. And every once in a while, I still sing out the chorus of this, usually when I'm all alone, driving in vehicle, feeling kind of beaten down in my faith, feeling like I'm failing at being a disciple of Christ. Those times when I say, I really missed an opportunity. Why? When I'm longing to trust God and to live out my faith more and more. I'll just all of a sudden burst out into a prayerful song. I don't want to be a casual Christian. I don't want to live a lukewarm life. Because I want to light up the night with an everlasting light. I don't want to live a casual Christian life. And I just repeat that over and over. And that's my prayer to God, saying, break me out of this casual mode. The rest of their lyrics include the following. It's more than a wish, more than a daydream. It's more than just a passing whim. Yes, I've said this all before. 1,000 times or more. I don't want to waste my life in chains of sin. This life is filled with strong distractions. One pulls from the left, one from the right. I've already made up my mind. I'm going to leave this world behind. I'm going to make my life a living sacrifice. I don't want to be a casual Christian. I don't want to live a casual Christian life. Those are the words that, when spoken or sung in prayer to God, they help to reshape our perspective on life, redirect the trajectory of our hearts. It's a recalibration. And that, I believe, is what Luke intended for us to hear as he captured this account of Jesus' sermon on the plain. When Jesus said, "But I say to you who are willing to hear," Jesus is speaking not only to his disciples, but to all of us, to those of us who do not want to live a casual, lukewarm, mediocre religious life. At the opening of today's text, Jesus says, "But I say to you who are willing to hear." And then he gives us 4 different commands for practical applications, 4 practices to be lived out in response to the preceding situation that came just before. It's easy for us to forget from one week to the next what happened just before that. From last Sunday's reading just before this, Jesus talks about the blessings and the woes. Blessed are you, woe to you. Blessed are you who are poor, who are hungry, who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. These commands in today's text, which begin with love your enemies, easy one, right? They need to be taken in context. They're to be our response on how you are treated because of your faith in Jesus Christ. They're not actions directed towards someone who's abusing you, perhaps. They're not directions towards someone who's harming you for some other reasons outside of your faith. That's a topic for another day. We are to try to still love those people. But this is specifically about those who are against you because you choose to follow Jesus Christ. It's good for us to admit that very few of us, if any of us really, have ever experienced any real persecution because of our faith in Jesus. Like the disciples at this point in their lives, we've not really experienced persecution for our faith in Jesus. We've lived in a time and a place where our Christian faith has been more or less assumed. It's been the norm. And unfortunately, this recent history in the modern West has created many casual Christians, lukewarm Christians who don't fully live out that way of Jesus. Too often, we've taken our faith for granted. We need to be among those who are willing to hear the words of Jesus. In this text, to hear, it implies not just hearing with our ears, that auditory reception. Yep, check, 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 can you hear me? Yep. No, to hear means to apply it. To say, I'm going to be attentive, I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to respond to what's been spoken. My life is going to be changed. I'm going to be different because of God. Those who are willing to hear, they identify themselves with the blessed in the midst of their unjust suffering. Those who are willing to hear implies a willingness, a desire to do something about what we've just heard. Describes a lifestyle as being merciful like God. The world needs more examples of that lifestyle. I don't want to be a casual Christian. I don't want to live a casual Christian life. If you're among those who are willing to hear, willing to take action, willing to live out your faith in a way that maybe people are going to hate you, exclude you, revile you, defame you because you want to leave this world behind. You want to make your life a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ, countercultural, then here are the four commands in today's scripture from Jesus. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. All of these are present imperatives in the original Greek, which means they're commands that are to be done continually. Not just, yep, I checked the box on that one. I did that once in my life. Okay, made it through that. This is an ongoing, habitual practice of our life. That makes loving our enemies seem even more difficult. Who are our enemies? Well, as I've mentioned, you know, an enemy is somebody, obviously, who's antagonistic to somebody else, seeking to do wrong. Specifically here, though, in this context, based off of verse 22, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, defame you, on account of the Son of Man. Enemies, people who want to do wrong because you say you believe in Jesus Christ and you live your life differently. This word love is unconditional love. It's not that brotherly love, oh yeah, I can deal with that. It's a love that only God can offer. We are incapable, outside of the Holy Spirit working through us, to be able to love this kind of way. It's a commitment to the well-being of others, regardless of personal cost, not based on reciprocation. It's not transactional. How do we show this kind of love to people who hate us because we're Christians? It starts out maybe in some smaller ways. To do good to those who hate you. Somebody who detests you. Maybe they look at you and maybe they're just jealous, but maybe they've been taught something else other than Christianity and they despise you and hate you. We're to do good to them, to treat them who detest us because of our faith in Jesus with honor, to treat them in such a way that they can't blame us for doing anything wrong. Even though they want to wrong us, we need to treat them in as best a way as we can. That's an action and a way, a practice to lead us into that is the next one, to pray for those who mistreat you. To mistreat someone means to threaten them, to insult them, falsely accuse someone. If that happens, we're to pray for them. That means to place it at the foot of the cross and to say, okay, God, you deal with them. You know I want to deal with them, but I know you don't want me to, so take care of them, God, in whatever manner it means. A couple of phrases that my dad used to say was to take the high road, kill them with kindness. My kids have probably heard those same words over and over numerous times. Rather than allowing ourselves to lower our standards and become like others around us, we have to put our trust in God. Trust that God is protecting us, that God knows what's best, that there's nothing anybody can say to us or do to us that God can't handle. It's easy for us to become bitter towards those who continually mistrust us, mistreat us. But it's difficult to become bitter about somebody that you're daily praying for. So to pray for someone on a regular basis helps us to gain a different perspective for that person. And in that time when we're not face to face with them, when we don't have those emotionally charged reactions, we can come up with a response then that is a little more along the kind edge, leading us to those times of being able to show unconditional love and to say, okay, God, they're in your hands. I want them to change and to know you. That's not going to come about if we lower ourselves and retaliate hate with hate. Now, Jesus follows these commands with two important instructions. He says, we're not to treat others based on how they treat us, but rather on how God treats us. And secondly, this way of life, it's to be lived out in community, not individually. We often look to the golden rule, treat others as you would want to be treated. Sometimes we twist that around and say, well, then I'm going to treat others the way that they've treated me. That's not the golden rule. We need to treat others the way that God has treated us. If you love someone who loves you, why should you be commended? That word commended is translated in our text today. It's the same word that we get grace from. God's grace. We need to offer God's grace to others. If we love those who love us, that doesn't take any grace. But to show love to someone that hates you, That's your enemy that's working against you because of your faith. That takes true grace. We can love anyone who loves us. We can lend to anyone that we know is going to repay us. But that sort of love, that sort of interaction, that's transactional. If we love someone because they've loved us, as we talked with the confirmation youth this week, if we show hospitality because someone has shown hospitality to us, we just negate all the hospitality to simply accept it and not try to repay it, to not even out the score. That's what God wants us to do, so that we can learn what it truly means to receive God's grace, God's acceptance, and then offer that even to our enemies. And that final point about doing this in community rather than as individuals, great majority of this Sermon on the Plain here in Luke's Gospel, including these commands to love our enemies, to show mercy, it's spoken in the plural to the community of believers. This way of life, it's not meant to be done alone. If it's just a me and Jesus thing, it's not going to work. I need accountability from other humans. We all need to encourage one another. We live, we act in community, which means bluntly that we need to deepen our relationships with one another. We need to learn to trust one another. If we, who gather together for worship, if we cannot trust each other fully, then we need to deepen those relationships and we need to get to know one another and develop those relationships. It takes time. It also takes intentional actions. Of spending time with people that we don't know and asking questions. It's part of our goal with our Lenten journey, is to be able to spend time together outside of worship, over a meal, breaking bread together, and talking, getting to know one another at a deeper level. Are you satisfied being a casual Christian, living a lukewarm life of faith? Or, as we close out this season of Epiphany, is our desire, our corporate desire, as God's people gathered here in this place at this time, is it to continue to gather together, to light up the night with an everlasting light of Jesus' love, for the grace that's been given to us? May we commit to gather together, learning with each other what it means to love our enemies. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Invite Lori to come up. I'm sure she's got some good connections here on how we can show love in a tangible, easy way.
Good morning. In 2024, we had a total of 48 units of blood donated, which helped 144 people. I'm going to give you a brief little biology lesson. You may already know this. Blood is three different components. Your white cells, which works on your immune system, keeps you healthy. Your platelets, which when you cut your finger, stops you from bleeding to death. And your red blood cells that carries oxygen around your body and takes away waste. By a show of hands, how many in here know somebody who's had cancer? Everybody's hand is up, unfortunately. Your blood in your body, in general, is completely replaced every 30 days. It's not like your liver or your heart that it's an organ, it's there. This changes every 30 days. It dies off and it's reborn through your bone marrow. People who are on chemotherapy, the usual chemotherapy, they don't have that ability. Their platelets get low. If they cut themselves shaving, they could bleed to death. Their immune systems are compromised. A simple cold could take their life, much less some of the flus and RSVs and things floating around today. Without those red blood cells to carry oxygen around, your brain doesn't function. Your body fails. We all need oxygen to live, God knows. But a unit of blood can change that, because these individuals frequently get transfusions. And we're all walking around with about 9 units of blood in our body. We've got one to spare. Every 56 days, you can donate blood. Every 56 days, you can take an hour out of your day and donate a unit of blood that you have extras floating around in your system. That can mean the difference between life and death to somebody. God created us in a miraculous way. It just amazes me as a nurse, all of the little idiosyncrasies that come into play to keep us going. It's a miracle. And as Pastor Craig said, love your neighbor. Do what you can. We are set up for 6 blood donation sessions in 2025. Our goal is to have 20 people signed up for each of those sessions in the hopes that 15 of those individuals can donate. And I challenge you, I truly challenge you to look at the list of dates. They've been out there on Wednesday's updates on the Presbyterian Post newsletter that comes out. Get it on your calendar and sign up. This is an opportunity to give back. It's an hour out of your day every 56 days. That's not too much to ask, is it? Thank you.
This time I invite the ushers to come forward to gather God's tithes, our offerings, whether you give online or you give here in person. As the plates come through, may you place your hearts, your lives, to be given over to God, to be transformed, that you might learn how we can love our neighbors.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we offer back to you a portion of that which you have entrusted to us. Take these gifts, take our lives, bless them, use them to further your kingdom here on earth until all your people are gathered together in your eternal kingdom. Amen. You may be seated as we turn to God in a time of intercessory prayer, praying for one another. Almighty God, as we gather together today, our hearts are heavy with the pain, news of cancer and other diseases, news of the loss of life, news of broken relationships, the news of lost employment. There are those among us who are battling anxiety in the midst of all of the changes around us in the world. As we gather together, there are those who are celebrating new life, new physical life, new spiritual life. There are those who are celebrating answered prayers of healing, wholeness, restoration. In the midst of the highs and lows of life, Lord, we thank you that you are present. We thank you that you are a God of grace and compassion, a God who loves us not only because we love you, but that you love us even when we find it hard, when we choose to not love you in various ways. We thank you for continually being there for us and with us. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts. Allow us to learn together to pray for our enemies, to pray for those who have done us wrong in your name. Lord, help us to be a better witness, to show your love and your grace in the everyday, ordinary moments of our lives. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts and allow your love to shine so brightly within us that all the darkness is scattered. Lord, may we be a testimony to those whom you place in our path, of those who trust in you, no matter what this world has. Continue to draw us together so that we could continue to draw all of creation together in your name. We pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our sending hymn, Take My Life, verses 5 and 6.
Thank you.
As you leave this time of worship and go out into the world, may you go with God's blessings. As followers of Jesus, we will love our enemies and do good to those who hate us. Go with God's blessings. As followers of Jesus, we will bless those who curse us and pray for those who persecute us. Go with God's blessings. As followers of Jesus, we will do unto others as we would have them do unto us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go with God's blessings.